Hello and welcome to another episode of Flock and Awe, the podcast that it only takes us three or four attempts to get recording on for a given session. We've got a bit of a strange one today. We're recording while there's actually daylight outside, which, given that we're approaching that time of the year in Britain, that we're seeing daylight at all is a bit of a surprise. With me are the usual suspects of Kevin.
You all right, mate?
And Doc Bungle the bear.
Hello!
Who I think has still got a cub on his knee.
Well, she's not my knee, she's sat on the desk, but it's fine.
Right, so if you suddenly drop out, we'll know why.
Yes, she's stuck a finger in something she shouldn't have.
Not touching that one. So, right, what are we talking about today, boys?
Well, I thought there's a lot been going on in the community across a lot of bits, so if we have a bit of a catch-up on what's coming out, what's been released, and... And just see where the gaming world is going.
So this is just a bit of a news roundup on whatever's caught our eyes recently, then.
Yeah.
Okay, so who wants to go first? Bear, waffle on.
Hello.
About Dark Elves.
Dark Elves, yes. New models, new book. It's been a long time. A lot of plastic. And the prices have gone up, but we won't touch that particular large herd of elephants.
It's Games Workshop. If there's a new release, just assume it's about half as much again as the old one was.
Oh, yeah. Some interesting design concepts they've gone with. I mean, the whole stately home staircase on wheels for the Cauldron of Blood was an interesting choice.
With the alternate, instead of having the cauldron, it's got a Medusa.
Yes, the actual alternative is a mount for the Medusa, so you can actually have the Medusa just on her own as a monstrous character.
I've heard rumours that that model, if you in the game, you can get up to about 700 odd points worth.
I've not heard that, but I wouldn't be surprised. Because if you look at the Demon Princes for like the Warriors of Chaos, an average build for that is over 500.
Yeah, which I suppose when you in that way, if you really maxed it out, 700 points for the price you're paying for quite a large box with only a couple of sprues in it, it helps keep the initial outlay for an army relatively painless.
Yeah, I mean The actual new Dark Elves themselves are quite nice. The Witch Elves are an unusual choice because they're actually more expensive for what looks like less model than you would get in the normal. So less plastic, obviously, because they're thin and lithe and dancing and prancing about. But
have they got their tops on this time?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say they've got a bit more.
I'll stick some pictures in the
more
links, although I imagine everybody's. Although the character in the Cauldron of Blood apparently has her left breast out.
Right breast. You hear that, American audience? If we've got one, you're not allowed to have boobies.
So does Sally and Ryan then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
We might have maybe one more, maybe. But there is an interesting trend to consider here. This is, I think, the third incarnation of the Cauldron of Blood.
Yes.
And it's now back on wheels. The last incarnation was stationary and wheelless, but prior to that, it was on wheels. Now, something else has been following that is the Dwarf Anvil of Doom, which is currently on its second incarnation, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's stationary or moves around magically, or I don't know.
No, it is stationary.
I should mention that some of the early rumours for their next release has it back on wheels, has it along the same lines of it's a dual kit. So there's the anvil and then a dwarf war altar.
Yeah,
this might surprise you, but in my GW days, I was a dwarf player, and I'm curious to see.
So, did you actually play dwarves?
Yes, but so I'm curious to see because every faction, every book that's come out, they've had this big model, whether it be the new Stegodons or the Cauldron, and all this, and even that massive sort of undead host chariot thing of the vampires.
That thing is mental.
What are the dwarves going to get as that centrepiece, large thing?
I think it might be the anvil. I think it'll be the same size. I suppose it's a war elf, so you'll just have a... it'll just be a mount for your lord, won't it? It'll just, instead of him walking or being carried on a shield, he can be pushed on a tractor.
Squadron of Death Rollers.
That would be nice.
Showing your edge there.
Well,
but yes,
I actually had one of my dwarf armies, I had an allied unit. And what is, I bought myself Throllers and had, but I used them as proxy of the ogres, which looked quite good.
They might have a dwarven giant as their centrepiece.
Bizarre.
Proxy that as you like.
Just put Ken on the table.
I said giant.
Come on. Professional. Come on.
Professional?
Yeah. So, Dark Elves, it's the first time that we've seen, with these new release schedules of a new army every month, that they are doing a double month release. So October was when the book landed and most of the core. And we're getting a second release, which has some of the more specialised things. So we are finally getting plastic executioners that are dueling with the Black Guard. And they'd look quite nice. I was very, very tempted by them.
Didn't we also get a rather strangely sculpted War Hydra?
Did you mean
Barney the Hydrosaur?
That's it, Barney the Hydrosaur.
Which could then be the alternate pose was the multi-headed Leech of Terror.
Yes.
Yeah, not great, is it?
I think the Hydra, but it was more down to the paint job that made it look like it was smiling.
Yeah.
Mind you, is it plastic?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, at least it's going to be easier to build than the old metal War Hydra, because that was a nightmare. You had to pin everything. And if you didn't pin it and you just put lots of super glue on, all you had to do was look at it the wrong way and something fell off.
Also, that model, the handlers are now on the same base, so you don't have that confusion of where are the handlers around the Hydra. Do you attack them or not? It's just one
it's just one model now, so...
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's a good little thing.
Yeah, they don't have the handler rule anymore. So whereas something like the Hell Cannon for the Warriors of Chaos has the handler rule with the Chaos Dwarfs, the Hydra doesn't. What is interesting, though, is the amount of attacks that thing can kick out. Because obviously the number of attacks are based on the number of wounds left, which I think is quite high anyway. But if you take the character Beastmaster, he supposedly has a bubble to kick out an extra D3 attacks. Oof. So on a fully healthy Hydra, it can be charging in with something stupid like possibly 11 attacks at strength 7. I think it's weapon skill 5 as well.
Ouch.
So it's a nasty little thing.
So it's all looking quite promising for the run.
Yeah. And the new Dark Riders, the Dark Riders are now plastic with a dual kit with what they are calling Warlocks, which apparently are basically, imagine fast cavalry pink horrors. So you have... they can ride around and they have a spell that they can kick out on their own, and you treat them like wizards. And they look quite nice and very interesting until you see the horses. They have the most stupidest faces possible.
I have yet to find a mainstream miniature company that can do a nice horse.
Yeah, the horses just seems to be a weak spot everywhere.
Yeah, it might be classed as heresy, but the plastic horses PP have done recently for the new release Fast Cavalry, they seem a bit round around the waist compared to the riders. They're all incredibly bow-legged just to ride those things.
Does seem a bit odd sometimes, doesn't it?
You only ever seem to really notice it when they're unarmoured. If you've got plenty of barding on them, they don't look too bad.
Yeah, because you can paint the barding in vertical stripes and it helps make him look slimming.
Or checks if you want to make them nice and loud.
Tartan. Paint them tartan.
Right. Shall I do the next bit that I've seen around?
I have one more thing. On the Dark Elves. On the new Space Marine supplement codexes that seem to be coming out. I think GW have surprised a lot of people, me included, in that they are not doing chapter supplements. So obviously we've seen Black Legion being done and the Farsight Enclave being done. I assume that we just get chapter supplements, but they're actually doing company supplements. So the first one that will probably be out by the time this gets released is the Sentinels of Terror Terran book, which will be looking at the third company of the Iron Fist and following the path of Lysander up through until he becomes his almighty Terminator special character. Which is interesting. I mean, it's very unusual that they've gone so focused.
Yeah, I mean, that was incredibly focused.
Because that was always something you'd expect from Black Library in the novels. They would just concentrate on three guys within the company. So even the Horus Heresy ones, they only tend to look at one or two characters in the book. They don't do any vast sweeping battles.
Before we move off of Games Workshop entirely, the other thing of note that's happened in the recent past, I should say, is the so-called Sisters of Battle release.
Yes.
Which has caused quite a lot of rage in the fan community.
Well, what's happened?
Well, it's not so much a release as a reissue. There are no new models. The codex, such as it is only slightly revised from what was free in White Dwarf whenever. And the prices are astronomical because everything's metal still.
And it's
all metal. It's all old models. People aren't happy. But seriously, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think that Sisters of Battle has that large of a player base.
Just a quick one here, because I was talking to a friend of mine at my local store about Sisters of Battle the other week.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing, and they just got released, the fluff behind them is they have the majority of the implants that Space Marines have, so they're almost like 80% female Space Marine, if that makes sense.
Right.
And he was saying, oh no, they've changed that now. They're basically just the highly trained military arm of the clergy, but female. Whereas before, they were like, it was still under the clergy's wing of just having some punch. But they'd had all the, they were basically, like I said, 80% Space Marine in because they had all the implants. Is that true, or did he sort of get it mixed up?
I think he's got a bit mixed up because their stats have never been on a par with Space Marines.
No, not necessarily stat wise, but in the fluff, they allegedly had a lot of the a number of the implants, which made them made them stronger, better endurance, better discipline, all of that kind of stuff. Not necessarily the complete package.
I know that they're lacking the black carapace, which is the interface module that Space Marines apparently have with power armor.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they've got all of that stuff because it's stuff that's very closely guarded by the Space Marine chapters.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm sure when I was playing, the dogma of it was because the clergy weren't allowed to have, along the lines of they couldn't have military men or something along those lines. They said, okay, we won't have men, but we'll have these females as soldiers instead. and they had a lot of the implants.
I don't recall that myself. I could be wrong, but the basic concept was and still is nuns with guns. So
yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
It's a bad habit to break.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. But yeah, that was it. Nuns with guns, and it was basically the armed force of the Church of the Imperium.
That was controlled because of a, what was it? The head of the church decided that the whole factions that the Inquisitors have, the idea that somebody suddenly became in charge of the church and they thought they'd found the next emperor.
I don't know. We're getting deep into the fluff. And you've got to remember that Games Workshop revises the stuff to, the background to suit themselves as and when.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those of us that were playing in the Rogue Trader days, probably not that many of us, but those of us that have gone back and read the fluff might remember mentions of the Star Child.
Oh, yes.
Certain factions believed it was the reincarnation of the Emperor because what's left on the throne hasn't got his spirit in it. It's just a husk. But in order for the Star Child to be born, the Emperor's got to be switched off. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and that was actually mentioned again in the sadly short-lived RPG Inquisitor. Which seemed like a great game, but you could never get enough people around the table at the same time to play the damn thing. So...
Anyway, yeah, they were nice models. I just could never get, and find enough people that wanted to play it, so I never really delved into it too much.
Right, then, let's move off of Games Workshop now, because we've talked about that for long enough. And let's see, Kev, you wanted to talk about Privateer Press.
Yeah, recently they've brought a number of bits out. First and foremost, I think it's quite exciting, is on their PP Digital side, they have released all of the Mark One compilation books, whatever you want to call it. So,
expansion.
Yeah, anthology. That's the word I was thinking for. And they're only literally a couple of quid each. And it's for people that have only started playing in Mark II, like myself, but I've been able to borrow copies of those off friends, being able to read the early story as the characters developed and the fluff and the different jacks and different characters and units as it's gone through and the stories. It's really, really good. But, I mean, okay, the rules aren't applicable now, but you've already got the rules for the stuff. Mm-hmm. But just for £1 or £2 per book, just to catch up on that, I think it's a bargain.
Yeah, it's about £1.50, I think, £1.39, something like that.
Yeah, you can't really say no to that.
No.
Even if it's just once a month, £1.50, there you go, I'll get one of those by the time I read it. £1.50, I'll get the next one. They're all good reads.
Well, I'm just looking on the app now, and they appear to have vanished off my app for some reason. I hadn't got around to buying them yet, but I can't see them now. But they were there an hour ago, so damned if I know.
So I'd say that's definitely a good thing if people want to delve into the history and the character of the stuff. So that's all good. Recently, coming out, they've done a couple of not like that bear. They've done a few new repackages of older models, but one of them is the Bane Thrall unit as a unit of 10 now. But the interesting thing about that is they're doing it as a plastic unit rather than metal models.
Ah,
which is good because it means the price speed will hopefully keep down. Depending on the quality of the molds, and everything. There could be a few issues with mold lines, but hopefully they're getting better with that. But if they're bringing that out as a plastic unit, based on previous bits with PP, it means they're going to use that bit for something else. Whether it throws and the Bane Knights will have the same bring out when Vengeance comes out, they're bringing out a third Bane unit. Who knows?
I thought the next Bane unit was going to be the Heavy Cav.
Well, it's in Vengeance, the book that's coming out in the spring. They are each faction does seem to be getting a cavalry unit, the opposite of what they've already got. So if they've got fast cavalry, they're going to get the other cavalry. But because mm-hmm. Crick's already had, so Crick's getting the heavy cavalry is relatively certain. But it doesn't mean that they're not each faction's not going to get another unit of some sort.
No, well, true.
You just know that heavy Crixian cavalry is going to be dirty.
Yeah, it's as if Crix really need a Bane unit to crack armour. Oh, wait, they've already got two. And if you also look at the trend in the last of the Hordes books, it wasn't as if every faction got the same things. Some factions got, say, two lights, whereas another one got heavy and a solo. Yeah, there's no, you can't just look, oh, Signar are getting two units of solo and this and this and this, so therefore Crix will get the same. They might get the same number of new bits, but mm-hmm. what the configuration would be could be different. But it's the fact that it's a plastic kit is interesting for me on that sense.
Hmm.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it is, and also it's probably going to stick together a bit better and stay together a bit better.
We can only hope.
Well,
and
fingers crossed.
Another plastic unit they're bringing out as a unit of 10 is the Retribution House Guard Rifleman.
Ooh.
So is it again, not the Halberds?
No, it's the Rifles.
Ooh.
I believe the Halberds are metal, I believe.
Oh,
but
okay.
They could quite easily have the same bodies for both, and it's just an arm change because they're both House Guard. So, it's a little bit of cost and efficiency potentially there, and hopefully the net result will help us.
I would like to see a stronger Rulic presence for the next race that they expand on.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the other big unknown, because so far all the main factions the initial factions in the War Machine, they've shown the cavalry in a few odds and ends. As far as the mercenaries are concerned, the only thing they've shown is the Rulic Arcanist Corps and the Colossal. So does that mean all of the mercenary options in Vengeance are going to be Rulic?
Well, remember, we've already got quite a few Rulic units. We've got the Highfeld Gun Guard.
You've got the Forge Guard, and you've got the High Shield,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the Ogryn, and that's it as far as units. You've got a couple of Hernan and John, but that's a character unit. So it'd be nice for the Rulic Sea of Forge players to get a few, just two or three more rank and file options, just to make their list different, because it really does start getting a bit carbon if you go too many Sea of Forge lists.
Bit cookie cutter, huh?
A little bit. And then the only other interesting bit, which we know nothing about other than the model, is there's a House Guard Thane solo who looks very nice, but I don't know at all what he does. It's like this Retribution House Guard leader. So, that could be why they're releasing that unit as a plastic, because, they're going to be popular when he hits the table. So we shall keep an eye on him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, as I understand it, there's not enough in the fluff to support an Iosian. Is it Iosian?
Yeah.
Army? All in itself, because didn't Ios get invaded by Kador or something? Kador?
No, the Ios got invaded by the Scorn.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The Retribution itself is only three of the, I think it's like 12 houses of the Iosan sort of government that are involved in the Retribution. So, yeah, they've got plenty of scope to add new bits, or just the general Iosan military, so the House Guard can get expanded. So that's all good.
I've got to admit that I'm not enamoured of the Retribution. Thanks.
They have a certain imagery which is a little bit Marmite for some people, but they, on the table, they are very, very solid, and as they get more stuff, they're only going to get better and better. So for those Retribution players out there, it's a good times.
The problem I've got with Ret is that I love the troops, but I don't like the Jacks.
Well, they try to address that a lot in the in the last sort of set release with the Via Jacks or whatever it is, where they've, you know, with the Banshee and the Demon and stuff like that, and they are very good Jacks.
Well, it's not playability, it's purely aesthetics for me. If I don't like what a model looks like, I'm not going to buy into the army.
Which is a valid comment. I mean, it's they definitely made the Retribution have a very distinct look, a lot more modern or alien compared to the steampunk image of the human races, which, yeah, it, some people do like it. Some of them...
It's a bit on the anime side, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, especially when you start painting the hair in, like, blues and greens and all sorts, you can get very anime.
And if I'm brutally honest, the idea of painting that much white just doesn't appeal. And, I have a hard enough time painting models I actively like.
Yeah, you never have to paint in this game the colours that they're meant to be. I've seen plenty of Retribution armies in any colour other than white, and they still look really nice. So,
well,
if you don't
it.
Like
I'll
trying
paint
to get a nice...
blue and pretend they're Signal.
Why would you do that?
Why not? You know, it's what I've got the most of.
And then this, just for Bear here, they've shown the next release for your Convergence.
Put your teeth in, Kev.
So the new releases for the Convergence. So you've got the Eradicators, which are your next unit of heavy infantry, which are very nice.
They look very nice.
I can't wait to see them on the table because they could really cleave through stuff.
Be interesting if we could see some Rulic cavalry. You could have your dwarfs on Shetland ponies. We'll put that on the wish list next to your Steelhead minibus.
The Steelhead minibus is top of the list all the time. And the other one is the next of the servitors. It's your Illumination servitors with their harpoon guns.
Which are just filthy.
Yeah, so the Convergence shopping list is slowly growing.
Yes, unfortunately.
Mine isn't. I'm not interested in them. They're another range that just doesn't interest me that much. If I wanted to paint robots, I'd have bought Necrons, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's personal taste and personal preference.
I really like them. It's gonna be it's gonna be interesting to see what the next set of heavies actually look like as models.
Yeah, I want to see the other half of the heavy jack kit, the floating jacks. They're the ones I'm really interested in. And the only other bit from PP at the moment is High Command Hordes has been released now. And they've already put up about the first set of expansions for both Hordes and War Machines with the extra Warcasters, extra troops to allow players to finally customise their decks. So
I've not been keeping up with High Command. Have you tried it, Kev?
Yeah, I have. It's really good. The only thing at the moment, because as you buy it from, play it straight from the box, you've got your five colour decks, and depends on which of the Warcasters you choose from, it's which of those six colour decks, it's which three of those six you pick from, and they're fixed. once you start getting these expansion kits coming out, you can tailor your decks to how you want to play. So you can take certain units that don't play how you want to play to put others in of the right colour.
Mm-hmm.
So at the moment, it's a good game, but you haven't got that personalizing ability in it. Once these expansions hit, then it will really make it a game, and I can't wait for that. It is really good fun. We've had a couple of us, you know, one Saturday we all met up about 11 o'clock, and then we left about 8 o'clock. We had about 6 games of it. Really wow. Good fun, and just the politics you can play on each other and try, and the alliances just for a turn of, if you pick on them and yeah, you know, I'll help you here and I won't contest this area so you can win this zone, and the stuff you can do with your mates, it is really good fun.
Sounds interesting. Right, now as Bear's having a brief discussion, I think now might be the time, because we're at about the halfway mark here, to have a brief musical interlude. So
let yourself in back. Oh, your service on it, give it a chance. Just give it a chance, just give it a chance. How'd you ever get the devil to dance? Get the devil to dance like that.
And we're back after our brief break there, which I hope you enjoyed my horrible taste in music. And it's my turn to talk about some stuff that's caught my eyes. Now, the first thing I'm going to talk about, whilst we've covered Games Workshop and we've covered PP, I'm going to talk about the new Chibi Primes from, is that Legendarium.com?
Yes, something like that.
Okay. For those that aren't aware of what Chibi means, Chibi is a Japanese word and it basically means super deformed, which pretty much covers these Primark models. We've got a choice of Logan Grimmar, of course, looking absolutely adorable. We've got Angeron, Mortarion, Vulcan, and Conrad Kurz as well. So that's 3 for Chaos and 2 for the Imperium. They're reasonably priced at about €10, so I think that works out about £9, give or take. And they're adorable. We've got Angeron stabbing a teddy bear, Mortarion dragging a headless doll around, Vulcan using a squeaky hammer on a stuffed crocodile, I think.
We'd hope it was stuffed.
We hope so. Conrad Kurz is hanging upside down from a post with a doll's head, and it may well be more the missing doll's head from the Mortarion model. And of course we've got, you know, Lehman Russ, whom the tank is named after apparently, with his little wolf pelt on and his claws up, and you know, I can almost imagine him going rah!
The Lehman Russ one, it looks like a small child in a like Halloween trick or treat costume.
It does.
If you look at the 3D renders of him, there's actually a puppy sticking its head out of the cape behind him as well.
I haven't got that one. All right, I'll have to look at that later.
Yes, if you click on the model and click through and you rotate it round, there's a little wolf puppy sticking his head out from the rear. That's brilliant.
They're really, considering when you first look at them, they look quite simplistic. They've got some really nice touches and really detailed at the same time. They're really nice models.
They are. I can easily see one of those being in the purchasing future. because I do like them. Yeah, just the one. Because I, you know, back in the day, I was a Space Marine player, so I can easily see that. Yes, yes. Then I got better. I got my rabies shot. But yeah, so I can easily see one of them happening in there. Probably won't bother with any of the others. I'm looking forward to seeing how the range gets expanded from here.
Yeah, if they bring out some of the other Primarchs.
Yeah, if they bother. They may not bother, you know. They may decide that they didn't sell well enough. But we'll see. Also from the same company, there is a Forge Father Vulcan who looks like we imagine a certain important figure to a certain far future military presence looks like. God, did I dance around that enough, or have I got to go around the bush a few more times?
No, that's enough.
Okay. We know it's not belonging to a certain company because there's a quick count tells me that there's only 6 skulls on it, and we all know that there should be far more skulls on that for it to be an official product.
Yeah, there's not even any on the base that I can see.
Well, there's 4 on the knuckles, 1 on each shoulder pad. So unless they're hiding the rest of them round the back.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful, beautiful model. The detail and the paint job, whoever painted it, is very good.
Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful paint job, and they've done really nicely on the original light source, on the rocks coming up from the lava, and I think it's actually been applied to a lesser degree to the lower half of the model. Really, just a nice job, nice sculpt, nice paint. It's €20, and I'd consider buying it even though I've got no use for it. It's definitely a shelf piece, but it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no idea what the company's like, but they do have some other nice stuff in there. They've got a what looks like a werewolf duelist, a goat centaur, wing wolf assassin thing.
Yeah, I could spend a day just going through their site looking at their models. They've got a huge range of very unique, very distinct models here, mm-hmm. with such really nice touches all over the place. But they've put them in such unique poses or unique style. But they could be used for many systems, but still stand out. Yeah, really good stuff.
Oh yeah, they could be used for many systems, but at the same time, they could, they'll just go well on the shelf.
These Chibi Primes. If anyone's playing 30K stuff, suddenly having that Lehman Russ amongst a whole company of space puppies.
Oh, that would be brilliant. There's your there's my Primark model.
Chibi.
Come back and fight! Respect my authority.
When I grow up, I'm going to hurt you. My brother's bigger than you.
Mm-hmm. I can just see...
to worry me.
I can just see a Space Marine, Chaos Space Marine, running around the field with Lehman Russ biting his ankle. or biting his arm, and the Chaos Space Marine's flailing his arm trying to get Lehman Russ to jump off. We're having far too much fun with this.
But they are nice models. Definitely check them out.
What else have I seen that's quite tasty recently? Dun, dun. Oh, yes, there's some new Judge Dredd miniatures coming out. They are Mega City Street Gang and Justice Department Heroes of Mega City 1 and the Justice Department Specialist Judges. They're all quite nice. I've had some of these castings. I got the Judges of the World castings, which were, I believe, part of the Kickstarter. Picked them up at Salute. I've got to say, the sculpts are nice. Clean up could be easier. The choice of the way they're putting the mould could have been a little bit better.
I was going to say, is it a case of the mould or the material?
Well, the material is standard tin pewter alloy.
Oh, right, OK, that's fine then.
So it's really a case of how they put them in the moulds. But they are actually doing Judge Cow and Judge Cow's retinue. So those of you that read 2000 AD back in the day, you might have read the saga of Judge Cow, where he becomes the chief judge and takes over Mega City 1. It gave us such gems as a judge in his helmet and a ballerina's tutu. A naked judge with his helmet and nothing but his badge to protect his modesty.
Where was the badge pinned?
They're the Justice Department. You don't want to ask those questions. I think just asking those questions entitles you to 6 months in a cube.
Oof.
And, of course, the infamous Judge Fish, who was a fish. I believe he also had a judge that was a dead horse. Yes, this was 2000 AD, at quite possibly the absolute height of its lunacy. But
or the lowest, or a real low point in the writer's career, whichever way you want to look at it.
Oh no, it was actually a really great story. It just had some of those strange little touches that 2000 AD is well known for.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also some new War Mill produced sci-fi terrain for Judge Dredd that's really quite nice. I don't know what the prices are like, but I've looked at War Mill before. They're not the most economical of options, but what they are is very, very nice. You know, it's what is it? When they use, it's usually made out of MDF, that thin MDF that's been CNC'd to make the kits, and they're very nice stuff. You know, like I said, not cheap, but worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, if the fact that it's been CNC means if it's been designed properly, it will fit very well. So you're not going to have any issues with that. So
yeah, so it's all very nice stuff. You know, I wish it was a bit cheaper, but you take what you get.
Yeah. Another bit that's out at the moment, just on Kickstarter, is the Mars Attacks.
Yeah, aren't those pre-paints?
I don't think they are.
I was under the impression that they were pre-paints. Well, it doesn't matter. I personally am not terribly invested in Mars Attacks, so I could care less. But
it depends how it plays when it gets released. If it's one of those that you rock up on it's a 2 foot table and it's an hour's fun and it's ones you can have with a couple of drinks with your mates. Sometimes just as a giggles game, it'd be perfect.
I've been told it uses the same system as the last Kickstarter, the Necromunda-esque one. What is it, Dead Zone?
Oh, right.
It uses the same system as whatever they're using in that one. So rather than like the sci-fi fantasy, the King's War stuff, they're actually using skirmish level rules they have. And that was a hunk up.
Well, I don't know. I've not played their Necromunda-esque game either. But £24 for a Warlord Games Happy Noodle food booth for their 2000 AD miniatures, which is a bit dearer than I'd like to pay for a single piece of terrain, but it's very nice. You know, but it's very much a case of get what you pay for.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, and of course, if I'm talking about 2000 AD, how can I not talk about the Dark Judges box that's come out? Either coming out or come out. I'm not sure when the actual release is or was. But it's got not only has it got your classic judges, Fear, Fire, Death and Deathfire, Death and Mortis. Yeah, I think that was it. Fear, Fire, Death and Mortis. It's got them in their humanoid forms, which look pretty well done. And it's also got them in their spirit head forms.
Okay, I'll have to give those a look. I was very late into picking up Judge Dredd, so I'm not the biggest aficionado of it all.
It's one of those things that you don't have to start at the start, but if you can, it's quite worthwhile.
Totally.
Because you've got to remember, Judge Dredd's been around for give or take 30 years, and it's been in, not only has it had a weekly release with 2000 AD, but it's had its own monthly magazine going on for at least 15 years, to my knowledge. So yes, there's a lot of Dredd out there. There's an awful lot of Dredd, and they actually run it forward at the same time span that we're running on. So a year passes here, and a year has passed in the comic. There's no jumping forward or backwards. So it's all quite interesting. What else have I got? Yes. Puppets War has released a new Ripper unit, which is some quite tasty-looking, chunky... How to put this? Starship boarding units with powered gauntlets and chunky armour. And they look really, really cool. I think they're resin, but this is a nice thing. They've actually made them with 1mm magnet type holes built into the castings, so you can magnetise them with the really very little fuss for changing your weapon options out if you wanted to, or even the head options, because that looks like what you've got. The torso and legs is one piece, then you've got the two arms and the head, so you can swap out the head and the arms anytime you like after you've painted them.
That's good.
Yeah, I like it. All I've got to do is think of an excuse to use them now. They're shiny. Got my excuse.
Do you really need an excuse to buy new shiny models?
Considering that I don't have a wife, you're right, I don't need one.
You need a better excuse to paint them, though.
No, I need a better excuse to not paint them. I've got plenty of excuses and reasons to paint them. I just need a better excuse to not paint them. You know, so far I'm coming up with, I'm a lazy git.
That's more honesty than an excuse.
Yeah, probably that. I don't get as much time as I'd like for everything that I'd like to do, but such is the curse of life.
Yeah, we've all said that.
What else have I got? I've got one more thing, like Columbo, one last thing, and that is Otherworld Miniatures. What have they got? They've got some new releases that came out, and they're very kind of generic fantasy, gritty European fantasy, but they would work perfectly for Mordheim, because all the characters are there that you would expect to see in Mordheim, and they've got some nice little terrain pieces that would make it up, like blanket rolls and a supply stack, and they've even got a trader with a cart that's hitched up to a donkey. Not quite sure where that would play in, but it might make a nice character piece. They look to be reasonably well sculpted. They'll certainly help you to fill out some of your war gangs of the humanoid variety or of the halfling variety, which makes for some nice change.
I mean, sometimes just bits like that for terrain on a table, for Mordheim, for D&D, for anything like that. It's always handy at times.
Oh, yes, it never hurts to have a bit more variety out there. Right, okay, I don't think we need to talk about any Kickstarters. Oh, I will say this. If any of our listeners actually back the Malifaux RPG, could you please get in touch with us and tell us what's going on with that? Because we're dying of curiosity here. Because the last few updates have been backer only and got no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm definitely interested in into Mark II. I just want to find out what's going on.
Well, yeah, that's always a bonus if we can, you know, if we know what's going on as well, rather than just randomly flailing at things. So, let's see. Next on our list is different colour primers.
Yeah, just for, rather than talking all about news and just being a bit, open it up to just sort of a bit of, what I, you know, sort of as far as I can reach it, is painting advice for people. I mean, when I first started playing and that, you only really had the option of two colours of primer. You either had the white or the black primer.
Mm-hmm.
White primer was fantastic if you wanted your colours to be really bright and vibrant. Yeah, yeah. And but if you left any gap between colours, the white would stand out and just gaps deep in the recess where you couldn't get the paint. It just, it, if you weren't careful, it could really make, yeah, it would just make it look rushed without, you know, by accident. The other way to go would be if you did the black undercoat. If you left
near
any,
if everybody went,
yeah,
pardon,
which is where near enough everyone went,
yeah, because that way, if you left, if you missed a gap, it just looked like it was in shadow anyway, so the dark of the black undercoat helped. The downside to it was, if you were then going to use any bright colours, you know, reds, oranges, yellows, whites, or, you know, anything like that, you had to repaint those areas white first, which it just time and effort, and the white paint could leave brush strokes and, yeah, or obscure details. So that was always the issue you had for quite a few years.
Now, as I recall, the rule of thumb with it was more or less a case of, if you were painting science fiction, you sprayed it black. If you were painting fantasy, you sprayed it white.
Could well have been, but I always went for the black myself, just to be on the safe side.
Well, I think that the majority of us probably spent most of our time spraying things black. But, you know, paint it black, as the Rolling Stones said. But it after a while, you tend to graduate and you realise that you've got to choose the undercoat for the miniature.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, yes, black's great. If you were doing Necrons, as an example, spray it all black, dry brush it all bolt gun silver, job done. Unless you're doing flayed ones, but, eh. So, but on the other hand, if you were doing something that you needed a lot of bright colours on, like, oh, I don't know. Say you're going to paint a jester in motley, then your best bet was probably to do it with a white undercoat because of all the colours. Bretonians. That's it. Bretonians. You wanted to always undercoat your Bretonians in white because of all of the heraldry and everything that went on there.
Yeah, totally. But like I said, the risk was if you just missed a bit right in the model and you couldn't get the brush there without put into other parts, or it just paint dried, it separated. That white was very, yeah, a gap like that deep in the recesses would stand out, and that was always the risk.
Oh yeah, there was always that risk, but by the time that you were getting to the point where you were thinking about your undercoat as a means to it, you were generally in a position where you could handle something like that.
Yeah, but the last few years, though, yeah, certain companies have entered the market and they've looked at it and why does it only have to be black and white for primers? And there's quite a number of different shades to make everyone's life that little bit easier. I mean, if you went down your local DIY shop, you could get grey primers quite easily, which were a nice trade-off. You could still get relatively bright colours to look bright,
mm-hmm.
but the grey wouldn't stand out as much if you missed the spot. So yeah. that was always good.
Well, Halfords do a great grey primer for about £6 or £8 the last time I bought it, and you get a lot more than a certain well-established company.
Yeah. I use a lot of different shades now with of army painter primers they use, because I've found that even like with my Mercs or my Legion or my Kador, different models to just make my get cracking on the model easier. If I use it the right primer, it takes a lot of the work out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I'm doing models that are wearing a lot of leather, so like the Manhunters and the Cossites for my Kador, or for Nis Swordsmen for Legion, or Nis Hunters in my Mercs, they do some really nice like snakebite leather esque. Primers, so it takes a lot of that out of the way. If I'm doing jacks, they do metallic primers, so you can get all those pistons and all those gears and everything in the heart of the model all coloured, and then you just have to worry about the paint that you're going to be applying onto the top surface of the armour, so like the army colours.
Well, if you want to be sneaky and mask areas off with blue tack, you can always get the bulk of the model done with just two cans of paint, can't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I will say one thing about those coloured primer, especially the metallic primer, because the finish of it is so smooth. The normal paints, if you a lot of people water their paints down. The general rule of thumb is try and get your paints to the consistency of milk. If you water your paints to that much when you're using the metallics, the metallic is so smooth it doesn't adhere very well. So it's better to actually have the paint a little bit thicker for the metallics.
Right.
But like, just say for example, you're doing a ultramarine army.
Right.
Rather than undercoating the model, whatever undercoat you use, and then paint the blues, you could get a blue undercoat primer to get 90% of the model done for you. So then you're not doing that arduous block colouring bit. You're just having to work. You can then do the fun stuff of the highlighting and the details.
Well, you've got to remember that Games Workshop over the years has tried multiple sizes of cans of various base coat colours.
Mm.
And they've had large ranges and small ranges over the years. And I think they've got a base coat spray range now.
Yeah, but I'm just using that as an example because that as a model is pretty much all of one colour. Or if you're doing, again, Legion or Tyranids and you want your Griblies to be
purple.
Bright purple, for example, rather than having to do an undercoat and then paint the whole model by hand, or yeah, if you're really fancy an airbrush, you could go, well, if I get a purple primer, it just cuts out that stage and allows you, if you're going to paint, the fun bit is the detail and bringing the model to life. The block colours, for me anyway, is the arduous bit.
Hence why you spray, dip and dry brush.
Yeah, and it works for me.
You're just such a total whore for them, aren't you? Army painter whore.
Sorry, am I meant to? Was that an insult? I thought that was a compliment.
You do seem to do a lot of whoring, Kev.
Yeah, he does.
Well, yeah. If people want me, it's rude to say no.
I don't know.
But yeah, going back to it, just yeah, for people that are maybe put off of painting or just trying to find quicker ways to get models on the table to look a good tabletop quality, look at those different colour primers. Just there might be that colour for whatever game system, faction release that you play, whether it be Bushido, Malifaux, I mean, yeah, Judge Dredd, anything, yeah, Dystopian. There could be just that right colour primer which can just take the hardship out of getting started.
Oh, there's some definite value in the coloured primers. You just have to apply a little bit more thought beforehand, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just my public service.
So, what about you, Bear? Are you specific colours, or are you an adamant black man, or white all the time?
Depends on the colour. Generally, I will go with black, but like for my scar and with my yellow, I went with white.
Well, you've got to go
have
with white.
To use brown.
If you're putting yellow down, you've got to go with white, haven't you?
And I've been known to do brown as well.
But well, we know you do brown, Bear.
Well, you know. But sometimes if I can get away with it, I will try and use a base coat colour as my undercoat. Where possible.
I tried the army painter blue that was, I think it was supposed to be Signal blue, but it just came out way too bright for me, so I think
what crystal blue.
I'd have to look at the tin. I can't remember, but it came out very, very.
I looked at it. I thought it was more an enchanted blue from GW. It was a bright colour.
Yeah, and I'd sprayed it on some models, and I wasn't impressed with the finish. So, well, I wasn't in. Sorry, start that again. I wasn't impressed with the colour. The finish was great, smooth, strong. But I just didn't. The colour was too bright for my personal tastes.
Yeah.
Because so, you're a miserable bugger.
Yes, I am. But on the upside, at least I'm not a Yorkshireman.
Neither am I. It's fine.
yeah, you're close enough.
He's from the other side of the hills.
Correct. The good side.
Listen, you're still a northerner, no matter what part of it you come from.
Yes, all right, you soft southern sods.
Says the man that's got a screaming child.
You've upset the child now.
No. That was Kev talking about ultramarines. you go back and listen to this. She started whining when Kev mentioned ultramarines.
Why do you keep saying the U word then?
Because I haven't got to live with Cub. Okay, so what's everyone been painting lately?
I managed to finish my Legion in time for the tournament last. Well, it was last week of time of recording, but God knows when. By the time Matt's done it, what have I done recently? I've started painting a very, very bright Pain Boy and War Bike because I'm painting it up using the fluorescent paints I have to look like an actual ambulance bike, and it hurts my eyes. It's that bright.
Oh, that'll be fun.
At the moment, I'm planning all my new scenery made out of as many cans as I can get my hands on.
No more trees.
No, I'm not allowed trees anymore. it was a couple of bases of trees, that's all it was, but apparently it got blown completely out of proportion.
It was a forest.
Did she step on said trees?
No, they just took up over a sort of half the living room while I was doing them for maybe more than a month.
And you wonder why you got banned from making trees?
I didn't think it was that bad.
No, of course you didn't.
Well, you know.
You've got to remember that, you know, the wife is the ultimate authority on this one.
Yes.
Okay, and of course you just finished that massive, massive orc war truck, didn't you?
The war wagon, yes.
Yes, the war wagon.
The battle wagon, sorry.
Battle wagon.
It wasn't that big.
It was hideous. It was obscene.
Why?
It
almost fits in the same outline as a Land Raider. The only thing that's a little bit bigger is the front where the Death Roller is.
As all good alt vehicles should be.
Yes, obscenely built, held together by spit and spogs.
And painted red.
Yes, because red ones go faster.
Yes.
They always do.
Yeah. Squigs. Powered by squigs.
Anyway.
Okay, what about you, Kev? You've been painting much?
Yeah. I've just finished and varnished and everything today while it was not raining. A Serif, an Inflictor, and a Nephilim Bolt Thrower.
Nice.
From a Legion. And I've just, while we've been chatting, I've just put together and mounted onto corks while I paint this, a unit of Ogryn spear chuckers and the officer attachment that goes with them. So they're the next thing on my painting table. To be honest, my painting has slowed down recently because, well, last weekend I had that tier event tournament I went to, which was good fun. And then I've just been running around like a mad thing, just trying to get everything ready for what's in the future of recording, but could be in the past by the time people listen, of the first London Masters.
Awesome. Good luck on that one.
Well, we've got 40 tickets sold at this time. Hopefully a few more people last minute will join in. It's all set. Got a shed load of prizes to give away. I've done everything I can now, so hopefully everyone will walk away happy and next year it can be bigger and better.
Well, fingers crossed. That sounds awesome. Right, what have I done? Well, I halfway painted an Irish judge that I started last week. I moved some paints around.
Irish judge?
Yeah.
To be sure.
Yes, because for some reason in Judge Dredd's world, Ireland managed to survive the apocalypse, and it's become one giant theme land. Theme park. Ireland is one giant theme park in Judge Dredd's world.
So he's not really a judge, he's just more like site security.
He's more like a spotty 14-year-old that runs the ride.
Yeah.
But, that's about it. I've shuffled some stuff around, but apart from that, I haven't really. My mind just lately has been more on a D&D campaign that I've been involved in, which is going really well because I've got a ranger of stupidly good stuff. So it's minus two or minus three armor class, so most things can't even hit him, never mind do any damage.
On a ranger?
Yeah.
Oof, good effort.
Yeah. So, and he ended up with a sword that's, let's see, if I managed, because these are a little bit homebrew, these rules, if I managed to get 20, then it's 2d10 plus 10 for the damage.
So you've got a melee ranger.
Yes. Because, originally I had a bow, but I ended up with this sword of biting cold or something. So it's like sword of biting cold that has plus four damage. Bow. Plus four damage. Bow. Right, let's smack something then.
And fair enough.
That promptly solved that problem. So, that's pretty much what I've been involved in, trying to get my head round all of that again. Because the thing about RPGs is the longer between play sessions, the more you will forget.
Totally. Where you are, what agreements you had, little plot details.
Where you've been.
Totally.
So that's about that for what I've been doing. So I think it's time for us to wrap this up. Because I think Bear's got to feed the cub, or just feed yes. Bear.
I can give you a whole rendition of Row, Row, Row Your Boat if you want.
Let's
maybe for after the outro music, you can have that.
Yeah.
Are you singing Row, Row?
Maybe we'll have that as the outro music.
Okay, so I will say goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me. You're going to say bye-bye? You're waving. Okay, wave to all the three listeners. Wave to the three listeners. Good night, all.
Good night, Bear.